Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Does the idea of standing up in front of a group of people and having to think on your feet, well, freak you out a little bit? Or does not knowing what to expect make you just a wee bit uncomfortable? My guest today is a friend, colleague, and co-conspirator who has helped me take steps to increase my confidence in these situations and more. Leif Hansen is an experienced coach, seasoned facilitator, and creator of innovative workshops. His workshops have been featured internationally, including on NBC's Today Show. Leif believes that individuals are ultimately the experts of their own lives and relationships. He helps people to step into their own power with experiences that go beyond words and ideas and include creative self-expression using a variety of fun, engaging inner activities, games, and exercises. In our conversation today, Leif and I are going to talk about how the principles of improv can improve your professional and personal relationships and how it can get us unstuck when we introverts get too much in our heads. Hi, Leif. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Beth. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on this podcast ever since I started them, so this is a treat. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Spark Transformation.
I would be happy to. So just the other day, somebody was asking me and saying, what in the world is it that you do, Leif? And sometimes that question strikes terror for me, and sometimes it's fun. This time it was fun, so... And what I was thinking about was how I think ultimately at core what motivates me and what's at the heart of my business is that I just think that life is weird. I think that existence is weird. And when I start getting in touch with that weirdness and that wonderfulness, I start becoming aware of this opportunity that I have to be alive. And that inspires me, and it inspires me to want to help wake other people up to how, you know, wonderful of an opportunity it is to be alive and to live this life as just a great, grand adventure and to transform into really whatever it is that we want. So my businesses have gone through various iterations, always keeping the spark, because I think that's the piece that I add to it, is to help kind of spark an inspiration, an aliveness, a playfulness to all that I bring, and whether that's working with individuals coaching or group experiences or training other people and how they can add a level of interactivity and playfulness to their teaching and their training. That's the piece that I bring. So Spark Transformation is really my focus on working with people on an individual level, although often in a group setting, on how to just start living the life that you really love and doing it in a really fun way, so it's not a bunch of work.
Yeah, yeah. And I just realized as you were talking, I've experienced you in different iterations that you're talking about, both the one-on-one, when you've, you know, helped me with looking at workshops and how can I add spark to those, mm-hmm. and seeing you as a facilitator and then also co-facilitating with you. So I totally see that spark that comes out, and it definitely is a gift that you are bringing to the world.
Thanks, Beth. Yeah, and I appreciate that. It's been really fun to work with you on a number of levels and to work side by side with you. I just want to say one other thing is that a lesson for me lately has been not getting too attached to the meaning of spark being that I always have to be up and positive and energetic, because there's those days mm-hmm. where that's just not who I either want to be or feel I am or I'm ready for. And there was a period where I said, oh God, so is this not really me? And I realized what's deeper than sort of that playful side and, you know, that sort of energy that I typically think of with spark is just being and being alive and helping people to get in touch with that sense of depth of being. And from that, sometimes that shows up as sort of a hyper playful, creative, innovative energy, but sometimes it's just sort of a content, calm, peaceful, grounded presence. That's fun for me to move into and to help other people.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you've shattered my image of extroverts in terms of Well, you know, I mean, that's something we didn't mention is that, you know, you're an extrovert, and that's one of the reasons we've teamed up is because we have these complementary energies. And one of the things that I really appreciate and admire about you is that, yes, you have that, you know, at your core, you know, that extrovert energy that loves to be around people and revving them up and gets energized by it. And I've watched you and experienced you really do some deep introspective work and to be comfortable with the just being piece. That's been really interesting.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks. I'm glad that it's been visible.
It's highly visible. Yeah, it's very visible. And I think it's an inspiration for all of us who are trying to cultivate all different sides of ourselves. Because you've helped me cultivate some of the inner E, the inner extrovert, and I've seen you cultivate some of your inner introvert over the past, year or so.
Hard to you. Thank you.
Sure. And so, you know, the reason that I first encountered you in a social media context, but where I really started to learn about you and your work was when you came to a coaches association meeting and taught us some improv and talked about how improv could be used in coaching relationships. So when and how did you get started doing improv?
That's a good question. I would say that it wasn't formally, but it really started for me back at the camps that I used to go to as a kid. In a sense, I've always been doing improv, and I think that everybody's doing improv anytime they're being spontaneous and they're being authentic. But in the sense of performing, in the sense of that spontaneity in front of a group, I would love to do skits at camps as a kid and then later as a counselor. And I was in the sort of performing space of what can happen with groups when you're not planned and you just know that you want to be present to each other. You want to have fun. You want the group to connect. So some of it started then. Obviously I probably had a little improv lesson or experience in a high school and college drama class here and there, but really I didn't formally get involved until about 10 years ago when I was living on Orcas Island, and I started taking and then teaching, subbing for a friend of mine for his improv classes with middle and high school students. And then it's just been a number. I just loved it, and as it became more formalized and start to learn about the principles and the games and exercises, you know, I would go to improv intensives with Matt Smith in Seattle or down in Bats. Bats Theater is a really big one in San Francisco. Gone on full 9-day retreats and done the Unexpected Productions classes in Seattle and really enjoyed and had confirmed that I wanted to use improv in more applied settings. A couple things happened. One was I went to Patricia Madsen, who wrote the book Improv Wisdom. I went to a retreat of hers down in Esalen. I was like, this is the workshop I want to be teaching. And then I also got involved with a network called the Applied Improv Network about five years ago now, and I've been a very active member in that network, actually created their social networking site, and have helped grow it to about 2,500 people, and conferences happen just year-round, and regional conferences have sprung out from that. And these are people who are, you know, doing improv as coaches, trainers, facilitators, psychotherapists, you know, all across the board. They're looking at how improv and its principles and games can help bring transformation on an individual, organizational, corporate level. So that's been a really rich resource for me.
And I don't know if it's because I'm especially tuned into it, but it seems like I see improv popping up more and more as a tool and as something that's being used in less traditional environments like the corporate arena and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. I think people, as the world moves faster and people need to learn how to adapt to change, I think people are realizing that any skills that can help us to think on our feet, to cooperate with groups and adjust our expectations and open up to offers more quickly are going to be invaluable. So I think that's part of it.
So just like introversion is sometimes misunderstood and mischaracterized, so is improv. And this is something I've learned from you. So I wonder if we could take that 35,000 foot view for a moment and say, what exactly is improv and what are the basic principles? You know, you mentioned them when you were answering that previous question. So
And obviously you're going to get a different answer from everybody, but I've actually even stopped, I try and stop using the word improv lately and have been more often trying to say improvisation. And the reason is because when people hear improv, their brain immediately skips to something like comedy theater, Whose Line Is It Anyway? You know, it's all about comedy. Mm-hmm. And while I think that humor and comedy is a big part of improvisation, it's actually a small part. You know, there's so much more. So for me, you know, improvisation is simply that place where a person is being authentic. They're unrehearsed, unscripted, creative self-expression. And from that place, I mean, we're doing it all the time. When you have a conversation, when you bump into somebody, and you don't know what you're going to say, even though your brain starts clicking into, what am I going to say as they're talking, you know, hopefully a lot of it is more authentic and spontaneous. And so I think when people live from that place that isn't scripted and mechanized, they feel really alive. They feel very present. And that's part of the scariness of it. And the deliciousness of it is that it's just really raw and really organic and really real. So I think that's what I think of when I think of improvisation. Yes, it can be performance. It can be anywhere. You know, matter of fact, there's probably a lot of your listeners and yourself have seen these videos from a group called Improv Everywhere.
Yeah.
That started in New York, and they do these great improv scenes. Now, the funny thing is, those are actually a lot of times fairly scripted scenes. But what they are doing, and what I think it gets at and why we still call it improv, is that it's taking the fourth wall down. It's taking the sort of, you're on the stage, you're the performer, it's a product being, you know, delivered to people. And instead it's saying, hey, we can be artful and expressive and open to whatever happens, even in a public setting. And we can respond in different ways and it will change. So probably more than you wanted to hear, but that's what I think of.
Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking of the phenomenon of flash mobs. Mm-hmm. And while those are scripted themselves, the reaction of the people around them is really fascinating, and how they respond to something that's just so out of context. So you know, I know there are a couple of basic principles to improvisation. What would you say that are a few things that are common, no matter if it's, you know, what the context is for people?
Well, there are a number of principles that obviously would take a long time to get into all of them, but I'll highlight some of my favorites. Probably the one that people most often hear and share, because it is pretty foundational, is yes and. And that's basically an attitude. It's a stance where you are receiving, well, I guess first of all, before even having a yes, let me say another principle, and that's listening. We're so often focused on what we're going to say and preparing ourselves that kind of letting go and getting a stance to receive and to listen is really important. You know, what's been said already? What can I then say yes to? So if someone gives me an offer, whether it's on the stage and they come on and they say, hey, mom, how are you doing? I say yes. I affirm that reality because that's now a reality on stage. And my and is, oh, I'm doing good, son, but I need to tell you that your dad and I are actually breaking up. You know, so it's you're adding a new piece of information, and that applies to our relationships. You know, you're at a meeting that often is full of yeah, buts, or no, or that's a dumb idea. It's that spaciousness to open up to all kinds of ideas, to affirm them, to hear them, to add to them, to build onto them. You know, later on, turn your left brain on and start critiquing and narrowing down, but it's the originating building context, and good improv is founded on that. Another one would be, the way I say it is to accelerate the rate of failure, or to not be afraid of failure. I think so many of us are constantly afraid of, what if I say or do the wrong thing? We get frozen up. But if we exercise and we just actually get in a stance of almost a goal of failing as much as possible, we relax from that. And we realize ultimately that there really isn't a failure like we think there's a failure. There's just, kind of happy accidents and opportunities for new outcomes and for new learnings. So that's an important one. Let's see. Sometimes people say that being average, there's a mixed way you can kind of hear that. That doesn't mean to not be your extraordinary self. It just means you don't try and be funny and witty and original and different and, don't try and impress. Just give an offer that might be an average offer. And from that, things can build up and will be much more interesting. Humor will come out of that, or insight will come from out of that, rather than you're trying so hard to, which really is, it's the flip side of trying to not fail, is to trying to be wonderful.
Right. And I think about that, like trying to be funny or trying to be clever. And the more we do that, the more usually it kind of backfires. But then your hope is, if you do, and you're in an improv setting, if people are following those principles, it's a safe place to do that. Because like you said, you're accelerating failure. And if somebody is accepting whatever it is you're offering, it'll eventually get turned around, or it'll be, lemonade out of lemons,
Totally. So we could go into some more, but I would say those are some really good starting places, some basic principles. If people are interested in the sort of applying to your life side of this, I would highly recommend the book I already mentioned, Patricia Madsen's Improv Wisdom. It's been translated into, I think, a good couple dozen languages now, and you can find that on Amazon.
Terrific. Thank you. So what have you personally found are the biggest advantages of knowing the principles of improv? What's it done for you?
Let's see. Well, this whole thing about failure is definitely a big piece. Just not being as obsessed about worrying about failure. And just letting things come out. I really enjoy having that kind of liberty and increased confidence and trust in myself. Those are related, but they're also different. I think the more that you do see that good stuff can come out of you, and you can kind of delight yourself with the surprises of what comes out of you, the more confidence that I've been built in my life that can happen in other places in my life as well. Definitely has increased my listening skills, and what are other people saying? How can I yes what they're saying? How can I and what they're saying? So another big piece of it. And connected to listening to other people is sort of listening to what's happening from my environment and the gifts that the universe is bringing, and being more game to say yes to those.
Mm-hmm.
As cliche as it is, and as there's a dangerous side to this, but the kind of yes man attitude, to life, to the things that come to us. I think I have more of that in my life. Probably more of a team player. So there's a few.
So those are ways that you've noticed that improv has been important to you. How do you think improv is useful to entrepreneurs and leaders?
That's a great question. I think there's a number of ways, and the one that's coming to my mind right now is that we're in a time where people are pretty cautious about anything that smells inauthentic, anything that seems rehearsed, scripted, like they're getting you're about to get pitched to. And this is actually a wonderful thing that we're developing this skill, or maybe we've always sort of sensed it, but we sort of let ourselves be conned in the past. And now that our options are more, and now that business is not afraid to be more service oriented and talk about love and being authentic, people are being more attracted to businesses and leaders who are really serving from passion and authenticity. And so I think improv can really help you get in touch with thinking on your feet and being in touch with your core and speaking from that place that actually inspires and enrolls other people, rather than some sort of scripted fear-based motivation. So I think that's pretty huge. Sorry, you're going to say something there?
Well, I was just thinking about how, you know, the thinking on your feet and being unscripted was one of the reasons why I was drawn to it, and why I think what's been powerful for me is that trust that you were talking about mm-hmm. before, too. So just wanted to reinforce that point. Just came to mind.
Oh, that's good. And actually, I'm glad you said that, because that's, yeah, trust is a big piece of that. Trust and safety, and you and I, Beth, talk about this in our workshop. You know, they're sort of the foundation of this work, that the more you can feel safe with the people you're talking with, whether that's, you know, presenting to a large group or one-on-one, the more you're going to be able to trust yourself, and the more the other person's going to trust you. And that's huge for business. And that's, you know, we think it's, that those safety issues are on the outside, but they're really things that we can deal with on the inside. The safety and trust has to do with things that are actually pretty much in our control. You know, that we can access deep, deep levels of safety and trust and confidence. And these improv games and principles are excellent tools for accessing that stuff. And I'll say one other one would be just that, again, we're in a time where there's lots of competition and ideas, and we need to stay creative and innovative. And there's nothing better in getting unstuck or thinking new ideas than some of these structures and applying these principles. You know, you can generate so many ideas applying yes and you can deepen those ideas. You can tweak them. You can turn them on their head. You can stretch them and expand them. And so I think improv really helps you to keep a creative, innovative mindset.
I would think for any team that's done brainstorming mm-hmm. and has experienced the person that's, yeah, but, or, well, no, what about that, you know, and sort of critiques as they go.
Yeah.
That yes and is hugely powerful for keeping people in a, you know, what we call blue sky brainstorming mode yes. where anything's possible. So, Leif, when I first decided to focus on introverts for my coaching and my business, you were the first person that came to mind to reach out to, because I'd experienced you in workshops. I trusted you. I knew how much you created safety, and I knew that improv scared the daylights out of me. And I thought, well, if it scares me and I see that there's value in it, I think there's going to be, I can't be alone in this. And so it's exciting to me that you and I have collaborated on 3 Improv for Introverts workshops. And our next one is coming up on January 19th in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And from your perspective, you know, what you've experienced, why is experiencing improvisation especially powerful for introverts?
Great question. I would say that there's a number of things, as we talk about in the workshop, but one of the big ones is that introverts, or what we call introverts, tend to have an excellent skill of, you know, processing internally. The flip side of that is that they can rely on that too much and end up being scripted and being afraid of what's just going to come out if I'm just myself naturally, if I'm just myself spontaneously. And what comes out is actually wonderful, but there can be a fear that not being polished or not saying just the right words or right things ends up really blocking people from a lot of their power and a lot of their creativity and a lot of their creating connection authentically with other people. So that's a big piece. And related to that, not just in the moment, but it is that sort of that fear of failure, of trying new things that can sometimes be a part of a person who labels themselves introverted. So I think those are the two things that come to my mind. What about you, Beth? You know the introverted world.
Oh, I knew you were going to turn this back on me. Well, I think very much that thinking on your feet and trusting that whatever comes out of your mouth, my mouth, is going to be okay. That I can enter into something not having all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and knowing what questions are going to be asked or what's going to be asked of me. It's kind of about releasing the expectation that I'm going to have all the answers or that I'm going to be perfect or that I'm not going to make a fool out of myself in some way. You know, I see improv as a very, like I was saying before, a very safe space if it's, if the space is held in a way that keeps those principles grounded of yes and, you know, accepting failure as part of the process and learning. And the faster you do it, the more you start to trust yourself. And
right.
So
right.
For me, a big part of it has been trusting myself and trusting that, I don't have to know the lay of the land 110% before I go into something that I can adapt. And there's that piece about safety of carrying your safety around with you. That it's not dependent on the outside situation, that there's a certain amount that we can, that we carry around with us. And I think improv helps us to trust ourselves more and to get more grounded in that internal safety that
yeah.
we can tap into when we get into situations that are uncomfortable.
That's awesome. And you've experienced that in yourself since doing some work?
Yes. Last night. Because I got to speak at Ignite Seattle and, you know, here I was, I had 5 minutes and there were some 700 people in the audience and, I was actually able to tweak a few things in my speech at the very last minute to adapt to the situation and not feel nervous about it. Now I have no idea. I can't tell you what I said because I don't know. But I realized afterwards that I think it's, you know, my experiences with you and that building of trust that enabled me to make those last minute shifts and be okay with it and feel confident and trust myself that, Beth, whatever comes out of your mouth is going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been very helpful to me.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for asking. So, you know, as I've experienced you, this all seems to be just like who you are in every cell of your being, of being comfortable with this spontaneity and whatnot. So have you ever personally found any aspect of improvisation to be especially challenging?
Oh, never. Nothing at all.
Never? No. Ever? Okay, fine. Well, then we can stop right now.
Because
you're just too perfect for me.
Yeah. All the same, you know, the same fears come up. You know, it's funny. You talk to people who have been doing even like, you know, performance-based improv comedy theater for years, decades, and they'll still talk about, you know, sitting off to the side of the stage, thinking of something clever they're going to say on the stage. And, you know, I think driving a lot of what I've been learning lately, partly through Landmark Education stuff, is that we are so driven by trying to look good. Like it's one of the biggest things. I'm sure part of why I'm speaking right now and doing this podcast, like we're so much of what we do is trying to look good. And, it's liberating to let go of that. But yeah, so I find it challenging, you know, different kinds of groups. So let's say I'm leading a group of new people, then I want to look good as a leader, or I'm with peers, then I want to look good as some really facile, skillful, improv guy. Or I'm with, you know, some group that really values deep spiritual connection and transparency and authenticity, you know, then it's, I want to look good in that, ironically, you know, it's be superficial to be transparent. But so, yeah, I struggle with that. I definitely can get so I can start having so much fun or be excited or be really spark guy energized that I lose some of the listening and awareness of other people. And a big improv principle is, you know, make your partner look good. So instead of focusing so much on yourself, focus on how you can just make other people's offers and what they are doing and saying in life. And this really service basically. Mm-hmm. And so I can kind of get a little self absorbed.
That's a great point. And I think of a Dale Carnegie principle, actually, one of his golden rules that says, give the other person a fine reputation to live up to.
Nice.
I like that. So making the other person look good, lifting them up, because in the process, you know, that you will look good to other people mm-hmm. as well without even being self-conscious about it. You don't have to try. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
For the people listening, and mm-hmm. especially for those who aren't able to come to our workshop because of distance, perhaps, or other reasons, what are three simple but powerful ideas that anybody listening to this can take away to incorporate more play and improvisational principles into their life?
Great question. I think the first that comes to my mind is to simply take some time, whether it's with a friend or a group or in your prayer and meditation or in your journal, but take on this question about failure, about a fear of failure and trying to look good. And kind of just get present to it in yourself. Get honest about how much energy and time your life is invested in that. It's not something to be ashamed of, but it's just a reality of the human condition. And, you know, ask yourself, is it worth it? Or do you want to continue to find a new way of being powerful and free and expressing yourself? I think just sort of looking at that topic and seeing where it leads you it's a simple but not necessarily easy step. Another one would be to join a play group. There's got to be some kind of, in wherever you live, there are improv classes. You can call a local improv comedy theater and take a class, get together with a group of friends. But just remember that how you grew up as a kid was you played and you role played and you simulated and find ways. You know, what I've done is I've just opened up a space 3 days a week in the morning and just said, anyone that wants to join me, I'm starting my day with the kind of things that I want in my life, playfulness and creativity and spontaneity and relationship connection and taking risks. So I've just kind of created that space, and anyone can do that. You can maybe search meetup.com and different places. The third would be how about this? Go to the Spark Transformation website. And there's some resources there. Become a member there. And I'm about to start a weekly kind of play at life, a reality game. How can you sort of tweak your daily life to add some more improvisation and play to it? So it'll become clear hopefully in the next, by the end of this week, how you can join that list and just get a little extra challenge to your life each week. So it's good for me to put that out. So now I'm committed to doing that.
Yes. There's no going back now. It's out there in the universe.
There you go. Simple step. It's out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for those. And I also, you know, think about those principles that you shared in the very beginning about trying to incorporate more, you know, noticing. Even when, you know, when I first started coaching, one of the first lessons was about replacing but with and. And so that's like an extension of this yes, but, or yes, and. And so I think when, you know, when the more we notice how much we say yeah, but, or no, starting to practice replacing that with yes, and is going to start to open up a lot of new energy for people that allows some of that play and trust to come in.
Definitely. That's great. Yeah, just take any one of those principles. But I think yes and is a really good one. And also start noticing in your conversations, you know, whether it's with your partner or whether it's with, you know, in a business meeting. But start to notice that part of your mind that wants to shut things down and add buts and qualify and critique and censor yourself and censor other people. And open up instead to a different way of being.
So in closing, I've got a question that I ask of all my guests. And mm-hmm. while you're not an introvert, I think, you know, if you tapped into that inner introvert and you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you only had room for 3 books in your suitcase, what would you take with you and why?
Wow. Okay. So I've already mentioned one, so I'll just touch on that. That's Patricia Madsen's Improv Wisdom. I think she's a wonderful person, and it just does really directly apply to one's personal life. So that would be one. Takes the improv principles. For those who want to get to some of the core classics, you know, of improv, and I'm embarrassed to say I actually haven't read it in full myself, partly because I've always assumed it's sort of a primarily theater-based one, but I know I need to read it. Anyways, Keith Johnstone, his Impro book, Improvisation in the Theater, is considered one of the biggest classics. And then, you know, instead of getting a book, what I'm going to suggest that you do is go to the appliedimprov.org site, and there's actually a whole resource list of books on the left-hand side of that site, and there's a number of discussions there. There's wonderful people that you can meet, but I'm going to assume that most of you who are listening aren't as interested as theater-based improv, but maybe you are, and more on the applied side, so I think you'd find a ton of resources there.
So how can people learn more about you and Spark Transformation and what you have to offer?
Great. Well, I love talking to people on the phone, so you can always give me a call at 1-877-I-AM-GAME or 206-428-7626. And just love to have a chat to hear how I can support you and what's going on in your life. But, of course, online, you can, if you're interested in the personal transformation side, you can go to sparktransformation.com. And if you're interested in more, you're a trainer or a coach or a facilitator, but in some capacity you work with groups and you want to know how improv can help your upcoming event or meeting or whatever, then you can go to sparkinteraction.com. That will probably tell you most of the resources and events that are coming up. I'll say one other event that's going to be happening I'm really excited about, and that's going to be, it's looking like May. If you go to Spark Transformation, it will be listed there. We are going to, we meaning myself and a partner of mine, Jale Anli, who is a playback theater pro, are going to be doing a really fun 3-day workshop that's emphasis is on basically learning playful practices that you can incorporate into your daily life and that will enrich your connection to yourself, to spirit, to other people, to your community, and to the world. So that's going to be a great one. And, of course, if you're in the Seattle area, you can come to Beth and my workshop on the 19th on Improv for Introverts.
Yeah, January 19th, and it's in the afternoon from 1 to 5 at Little Red Studio in downtown Seattle. And we wanted to offer listeners to this podcast a special rate.
That's right.
And so the normal registration rate for the 4-hour workshop, that includes the workshop itself and the related materials and resources, is $89. And we wanted to do a podcast friends discounted rate of $69. And so in order to get that rate, simply why don't you send an email to Beth at...
And you have, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to give the email and then ask you for the word because there'll be a secret password. But send an email to Beth at theintrovertentrepreneur.com and let us know that you listen to the podcast and that the secret word is...
Monkey bum.
Monkey bum. And so that's B-U-M at the end, right? Or is there
B-U-M-M-M.
Say that again?
I think any form of monkey bum will be a...
Okay, monkey bum. Okay. See? I need for it to be, like, exact. I'm not, you know... I need to release here. Okay, so monkey bum is our secret password to get that special rate. So please send an email to Beth Below or Beth at theintrovertentrepreneur.com and... Share with me the word monkey bum, and you'll receive that. You'll get a link to a special PayPal link to register at the $69 rate for our January 19th workshop. So thank you so much, Leif, for being here and sharing so much wisdom and insights and your journey of improv and how it's impacted your life. So thank you.
You're welcome, and look forward to playing and working with you soon, and any of your listeners, feel free to connect with me and would love to play with you too.
Awesome. Thank you.
This is Beth Bielow, and you've been listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. A very special thank you to Leif Hansen for joining me today, and thank you for spending this valuable time with me. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. And remember the special offer that Leif and I have for you for our January 19th Improv for Introverts workshop in Seattle. You can get a discounted rate of $69 by sending me an email at beth@theintrovertentrepreneur.com, mentioning this podcast and the secret password Monkey Bum. And if you'd like more information about that workshop or anything else that has to do with the Introvert Entrepreneur, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me and a community of other introverts at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you next time.